You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Why is this necessary? Because you need a different view of me. You're not going to get the right view of me if you stay where you are. But God said, you need to test me. You need to try me. You need to pull on me. You need to see that I'm a healer. You need to see that I'm a deliverer. You need to see that I'm a peaceful man. You need to see. So I got to move you. Got to move you. Got to move you. Mama moved us up to that place. We had a stall shower. I ain't had no stall shower in my old places. Didn't even have shower. We had baths. Used to put Fab, the Tide, in the... We ain't had no bath gel. Didn't have no shower. You had a rubber stopper. You didn't have no lever up top that you pulled. You had a rubber. You had to feel down there for it. And if you lost it, you use a washcloth. Stick it in there. Mama moved us to a house where there was a lever in the tub. When you push it up, it held the water. There was a stall shower where you could step in and take a Lord have mercy. But we would not have gone there had she not got hit in the face with a water balloon. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's the Lord that delivers us. When something happens, look at it as God moving you to a different place. We had a lawn. We never had a lawn before. We had grass in the backyard, but we ain't had no lawn. We had a lawn. Somebody had to cut it. Cut the grass. Had a lawn. Had a patio in the front. A water hose. In the front. Garage. Didn't have no car. The garage was faith. It was God giving you something that you need later. You had your own driveway where you could park not out on the street, but behind your house. What is God saying? When I move you, I move you to a better place. I move you even with stuff you don't need at the moment, but I'm a God of expansion. I will give you what you need in the future. I'll give it to you right now. But you got to change. You got to change your view of me. You got to see me differently. You can't see me differently if things are going the way you want them to go. While they were in that boat, they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? The Bible said he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace. Now, I think that there should be a period after peace. And I think the be still belongs to the disciples. That's just my theology. Because they were all upset, all anxious. He turned and said to the wind and the sea, peace. Looked at them and said, be still. What are you upset about? I'm on here. Listen, all you wives that have good husbands, tell me that you don't have a sense of peace when he's home. Because you know he's going to take care of things. I ain't talking about breath and britches. I'm talking about a real husband. I have let's go on. He said, look at this. And when he was finished talking, it said the wind ceased and there was great calm. What is God saying? When you hit the storm, all right, saints, when you hit the storm, speak to it. Don't let it change you. Speak to it. Jesus said, the works I do shall ye do also. When storms come in your life, turn, look at them and say, peace. It ain't messing me up. God wouldn't have brought me this far and dropped me off. There's something that he wants to do in my life. There is something of a great magnitude that he's looking to get out of my life. Peace. And then he said unto them, I love this, in verse 40, he said, why are you so fearful? Ask your neighbor, why are you so fearful? Now tell them why you're fearful. You think you're going to lose your business, think you're going to lose your job. First of all, if you remember when you first opened the business, you said this was God's business. You said, I'm dedicating it to the Lord. So now he's going to close his business. And if it's his, you ought to be okay with it. See, we fight to hold on to something that God is giving us every indication should be closed. Now, why does Jesus want to go over to the other side? Careful examination of the text as it applies throughout the Gospels, with the exception of John, is that they wanted to take him and make him a king because he had multiplied fishes and loaves. See, people always want to push you where God doesn't want you to be. The most difficult task for the child of God is not to believe their own press clippings. Don't let people push you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Just say no, because the enemy will have you build a hut right here and stay where God has not ordained. If you remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain of transfiguration for the express purpose of showing them his glory. And the Bible said he was glorified in front of them, and Moses and Elijah came and stood with him representing the law and the prophets. And Jesus was in the middle identifying, I'm the one that brings them both together. And Peter got caught up and said, let's build three tabernacles. And he wasn't talking about, you know, big worship places, but like lean-tos, pup tents. Let's get three tents and put them right here so we can always come here and worship. And God said, this is my son. Listen to him. Now, the King James makes it real nice. Hear ye him. No, what God was saying, shut up and listen to Jesus. You ever notice how we sanctify an area? It was right there in that seat. That's where I met Jesus. 25 years ago, right there, glory to God. They don't let us sit up there no more, but it's right there. Every time I walk past that seat, now God has moved over to the other side. He's saving people at the other side. He even left the church and went out down the street. And you still, that's it, right here is where I met God. It's time to move. The question before you is not where you met God, but where are you meeting him? Have you caught Abraham, bless his heart. The Bible said Abraham made an altar every place he went because he didn't know if I'd ever get back to the old one, so he made a new altar everywhere he went. So can you imagine there's these altars littering the whole area of Palestine? They're just all over the place. Why? Because Abraham knew that it was important to stay in contact with God, especially since he's bringing me to a land that I don't know anything about. Every one of us in here are being brought to a place that we've never been before. And so the enemy is telling you, don't do it. Just wear the same things, do the same things, stay the same way, and your life becomes boring. Now, I get bored very easily. I need change just for the sake of change. I do. I just need change. Because when you hold on to stuff and get into that pattern of just, you know, doing the same things all the time and holding on to stuff, why? You become a hoarder. All hoarders start out connecting to something they didn't want to throw away. And then they get more stuff that they don't want to throw away. And then they get more stuff that they don't want to throw away. And they don't even see that it's destroying their lives. All they know is, oh, I can't get rid of that. Now, I do have a problem with my mother. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. But she threw away, my brother and I talk about this when we're together. Mama threw away our comic books. Now, I walk into comic book stores today and stuff that I had is selling for $50. I look up and say, doggone you. My little Davy Crockett lunchbox, the metal one, with the glass thermos. Those things are going for $150. Cabbage Patch Kids, $750. Barbie dolls in mint condition, $1,500. And you threw yours away because all of a sudden you joined the Black Panther Party.
I don't need no Barbie doll no more. She oppressive.
Shucks, she $1,500 now. You better go find Barbie. But aside from that, we hold on to things. Relationships. We hold on to things. Positions. Longer than we should. And then we become a hoarder. But Jesus is still calling, let's go to the other side. How can we serve an inexhaustible God? A God who cannot ever run out and stay with him in the narrow parameters of existence that we've created. You've allowed the world to tell you that when you reach 65, you should vegetate and die. I'm not saying you shouldn't retire. I think you should retire and party. I think you should get your Social Security and your pension and go on a cruise. And go on the Holland Cruise Line, because that's for 65-year-old people. Don't go on, you know, Celebrity or Carnival. You go on the Holland Cruise Line. Everybody go to bed at 7:30 and... when you go through the buffet, they give you 3 pieces of bacon, and that's it. You just... when they take you out on a cruise, everybody's got a, out on a shore trip, everybody got a rope around their waist, and they walking down. I'm not kidding you. At least they on the cruise with sandals and socks, and but they're on the cruise. Plaid shorts and but we've allowed the culture to tell us to dictate to us that, oh, when you reach 65, you ought to just sit back and no, you should. Those are your productive times, although the productivity is different. It's not as much physical as it is mental. It is during those times you should be mentoring the next generation. I don't need to work as hard as I used to. You pass that knowledge on. Now you supervise. Why? Because you get stuck. I'm sure looking forward to retirement. To do what? Sit around the house all day, watch soap operas, smoke cigarettes, and chat on the phone. Are you telling me that God gave you all those extra years to sit around and do nothing? Let's go to the other side. After Jesus chastises them in verse 40, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? It said they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, they have been walking with him, and they've seen him do some substantive things. According to John, they've already seen him turn the water into wine, and they didn't ask this question. They've seen him multiply fishes and loaves, and he did not ask this question. He has healed a couple of people by now, according to Matthew, and they did not ask this question. But now, when he conquers the wind and the elements, they see him different. What manner of man is this? How you see God is directly connected to your position in life. Some of you do not see him as a healer because you've never had to pull on his healing power. But if you've had to go to God and have God reverse the doctor's diagnosis by his divine power, if you have gone back to your doctor and had them cancel a prescription because you no longer need it, you can stand in the congregation of the righteous and boldly declare that by his stripes I am healed. If you have never had God meet your financial need, then you can never call him a provider. And we are limited in our experience because we don't see him as such. For some reason, in our narrow physical minds, we see all miracles as God using somebody. While I cannot disavow the fact that God will use others, as in the case of Elijah and the widow woman of Zarephath. But then there are times that God reserves the miraculous for himself. I told you this story of a precious mother in Zion that I knew as a young man. And Mother Barnes would always gather us together. And in those days, we loved to sit at the feet of the older saints, to listen to the great stories of the provision of our divine God. She lived in the Raymond Rosen Projects. And her daughter and I went to school together, and her sons, and we would always gather at the house. And she began to tell us a story about the provision of God. Her rent was $75. She went to God and said, "I only have 60. She said she heard the Spirit of God say, "Count it again." She counted it again, and it was 65. He said, "Count it again." She counted it again, it was 70. He said, "Count it again." She counted it again, and it was $85. He gave her enough to pay the rent and $10 extra. Now, I tell some of you pragmatic saints about that, and you wonder, yeah, right, maybe she just miscounted. Well, you need to go to the other side, because we serve a God that does multiply not only fishes and loaves, but whatever you need. Let me call your attention to the journey that the children of Israel took after they left Egypt. The Bible said when they left, there was not one feeble one among them. That means that nobody was sick. The moment they decided to go to the other side, God healed everybody. Could it be that you are suffering physically because of your environment? If you were to move, maybe you get better. Let me stand here. Let me stop this. Ooh. Then the Bible says something that still boggles my mind. It said that their shoes never wore out. And it said that their clothes did not wear out. Brothers and sisters, I know you could fathom, you could think, you could understand shoes not wearing out and clothes not wearing out. That's not too difficult. But can you understand that the feet of those children grew and God made their sandals grow with their feet? That as their bodies grew, both vertically and horizontally, God made their clothes grow with them. Why? Because they didn't have clothes makers. They didn't have shoemakers, but they had God. Let's go to the other side. You keep thinking that you don't have what you need in order to glorify God, but he has given you every tool to accomplish the job. Any tradesman will tell you that the first thing you need to do when you assess a job is find out what tools you'll need. My daughter has a chair she wants me to put together. I said to her, before I come put that chair together, take a picture of the tool list and send that to me so I can come there with the right tools. Are you hearing me? Well, that's how God is. Don't just throw stuff up at God, but be specific. Tell God, Lord, this is my problem. After listening to my pastor today, I'm in the wrong location. I need you to do something miraculous, but I'm surrounded by doubters. I need a storm to blow away the doubters so I can have the miraculous.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go and To My Blessing, or the program number 06419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. invites you to three nights of discussions that will empower you to grow closer with the Lord and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's happening Wednesday, July 17th, Thursday, July 18th, and Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. It is Bishop Lambert's heart for every believer to understand the principles of God, develop a renewed mind, and strive to achieve an abundant life in Christ. Plan now to be a part of these three nights of interactive discussions that will enlighten believers as we prepare to develop and move to the other side of growth in our life with Christ. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday, July 17th through Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly. Call 215-885-2585 for more information. Join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian M. Weatherspoon as they present another in-depth study of ministry training at the next Making of a Minister session on Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come prepared to delve into biblical exegesis and learn how to craft your sermon. These sessions are free, but you must register to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit www.betheldeliverance.org. Don't miss these empowering sessions that will equip you with the proper tools for preaching and teaching the Word of God. We look forward to seeing you at the next Making of a Minister session, Saturday, July 27th, at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Iron sharpens iron.
The Climbing Higher radio broadcast features dynamic teaching brought to you by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and the media ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Through this outreach, believers are empowered to walk in daily victory. Non-believers are enlightened to seek a relationship with the Lord. Families are strengthened through teachings that examine dynamics of their relationships. And overall, the Lord is being lifted up through the airwaves around the globe. We invite you to partner with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church as we seek to impact our culture with the unadulterated Word of God and the power of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God changes lives, and in these last days, we need to reach as many souls as possible with the message of truth. Jesus saves. He not only came to save our souls from eternal damnation, but He came to give us abundant life while here on this earth. You can help us reach the world with this message. Simply go to the BethelDeliverance.org media tab and scroll down to the Bethel Media Outreach Partnership link to safely give online with a one-time gift, or you can set up recurring payments for monthly donations. It's safe, quick, easy, and impactful. For more information or to speak with a representative, call 215-885-2585, extension 409. We thank you for standing with us as we continue to further the kingdom of God.